All right, we're calling the September 19, 2018 meeting for EDAT. First item of business is item two, approval of the minutes. This is 2.1, is the approval of the July 11, 2018 regular minutes. We all had a chance, it's been a while, I know that, but we had a chance to look at the minutes. I looked it over, they looked fine to me, detailed as usual. So there are no revisions or anything like that. I have a motion to pass the minutes.
I will move.
I have a motion, is there a second? All members in favor of passing the motion indicate aye.
Aye.
Any in opposition indicate nay?
Nay.
There's one, seriously, one nay, okay. Well, the ayes have it, so the motion passes. Thank you.
All right.
Let's move on to item three, public comment.
We have none.
Okay. Item four is announcements. Do we have any announcements?
The only announcement I'm going to make is that we do have a new teen council member. Her name's Danielle. So if you want to maybe introduce yourself and say a few words, you can.
I'm Danielle. I just started at Cal High this year, and this is also my first year in teen council, and I'm super excited to be this committee.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you.
I have one comment. I don't know if this is regarding public and public comment or announcement. I know we heard about the Osh bankruptcy. Is this up for discussion today or next month as to what's going to happen there?
I don't know if we even have that information yet to give to you guys. We haven't really heard a lot on our end either.
What the bankruptcy lawyers are saying to everybody is that they're closing down operations, all lease agreements nationwide, end of December 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So anything they have long term,
right.
The lease. But I don't know if this is happening here with this one specifically, but this was in the media.
It is closing. They've posted the clearance sales and everything else. It's not clear to, at least to the city, whether or not the terms of the lease will revert back or whether there will be subleases. Lowe's holds the master lease to that space. Whether they negotiate with the property owner to return the lease or whether they sublease it themselves, we just don't know yet.
Which property then?
This is the Orchard Supply Hardware in the Commons Shopping Center. Okay, any comments?
All right.
Item five is special presentations. Do we have any?
Nope.
Okay. We want item six, unfinished business. One item there, 6.1, is retail shopping center updates.
Okay, so we have quite a bit, actually. Just some things coming and going. So the first is Spice Kit. I don't know if you guys are familiar with where that was located. It was over in the Crow Canyon Commons. They are out of business, so they closed down. As of right now, we don't have anything going in there that we know of. So still open. Shred 415, it's some type of gym concept. They are going in right next to where Spice Kit was, so it's a little bit of a bigger space. They're going to be occupying that. We also have the kebab shop. That is replacing Noodles and More. And it does say they're opening September 2018. I don't think they've opened yet. Sakaya Sushi is going in where Poke Roll used to be. That's over next to Petco and Fat Maddie's, if you guys are familiar with that area. So Poke Roll is no longer there, and it will be a sushi place. And I don't know, I have to look into this more, but Pista House is closed for now. I don't know if they're going to be reopening.
Pista House?
Pista House? It was an Indian restaurant.
What was that?
I think it's closed, right?
Yeah, Pista House. There were some so messages on the door about them being closed. So
inspection. Okay.
Yeah. So
where was that at?
That is over by
Pizza Hut.
No, yeah.
Domino's, next to Domino's.
Mm-hmm.
Right up Crow Canyon. Mm-hmm. Lynn's Noodle and Skewers Bar is actually already open. It replaced Yipin Restaurant that was on San Ramon Valley Boulevard, right there in the courtyard. I think it's the Courtyard Shopping Center or right next to that shopping center.
What's replacing?
It's called Lynn's Noodle and Skewers Bar. It looks like kind of Chinese food and maybe noodles, I guess. Looks pretty good. And then there's another Thai restaurant. It's actually where Taco Bell used to be over at the Gateway Shopping Center. So those are all the updates we have for retail. I guess a lot's been going on since we met last, but they've all been kind of filling in, moving out, and... I don't think anyone's moved in yet, but I think it's going to be a round table.
Yeah, I think that's what Debbie had said. Previously.
That's what, yeah.
Not a pizza place. Jeez.
That was a lot without having pizza in it.
I know, it was. Good mix of stuff.
Were they going to go somewhere else? Debbie was working with them to see if they could go somewhere else? Or
you know what, I don't know. I don't have that information, but I'll ask Debbie when she's back in and just see if she has any new...
I think
business.
They gave up their lease at the Bed Big Five. Is there somebody else looking at that spot?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything. I'm surprised Big Five has given up.
Well,
they've been there a while.
I'm not Big Five, but it was
the round table next
round
door.
Table.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I think
no,
that's
I haven't
the
heard anything.
Of that business, I
okay.
think.
Yep, I don't have anything there for. I could double check because I saw something. I did go on the website for Crow Canyon Commons, and I saw something might be going in there, or someone is subleasing from that space. So I'll find out, and I'll get back.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, but that's it for retail.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Item 7.1 is new business. We have the Shop Local Passport Program. I guess it's an update.
All right, so I'm going to pass these out just so everyone has an idea.
And I'm going to make a note that it is a rough first draft.
Yes.
You don't have all the businesses yet.
Okay.
This is just kind of
our
draft.
So you have a visual.
Looks pretty good already.
Thank you.
Yeah. This one has a rough.
But when you open it, it's missing a lot of stuff because we don't have all the information yet. And a lot of the text is placeholder.
Great, Tori.
Thank you.
So these are the final businesses, or these are just a sample?
10 of the 20, yes, final businesses.
So we're halfway there.
We just got the 11th one yesterday, minus their
description. Yep.
You know, the way it's laid out, we could actually charge for this program. Right?
That's the idea, eventually,
yeah.
Not this year,
once
but it could be a money raiser.
Yeah.
So I think we're just kind of...
People even do it.
Yeah.
We do. It's a test run. But I think what we wanted to do was just get some feedback on the passport and see if anyone had any other questions, comments, concerns, or anything that they'd like to ask or add to this. Again, it is a rough draft, so we could still kind of go through and make any adjustments if anyone thinks...
So what's the plan like? People bring this to City Hall. Where do they give it?
So
if we're planning to have a box, drop box, we can say that drop it in the City Hall in a drop box.
Right, yeah, and again, any comments you have, maybe suggestions on that, we are going to have a fine print section, so we're going to lay out how they participate, what they do when they're done, and how we choose winners probably. So if you have any comments or suggestions on that, feel free to voice them.
That's actually what the committee's going to work on today.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah, I think I have them somewhere,
I know
too.
Firehouse
I saved it.
Firehouse is also there. We just got
Club Sport.
Right? Club Sport. Let's see.
It's the gift cards from these businesses.
So for the school, like if you don't have any children to go to these places on these schools, you just go there and give them this so that you can get this stamp?
Yeah, you only have to do 15 of the 20
mm-hmm.
to complete this,
mm-hmm.
so you don't even necessarily have to do that one if it doesn't apply to you.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you would just enter the business. There's no purchase necessary. You just enter the business, and they'll give you a stamp. But
so
if you're really not interested or don't want to go, you don't have to do all of them.
So whatever we put in here are the people who responded to our email or our reach? Or
Everyone in here is who's been selected as a business to participate on the passport.
By a committee at the chamber.
Yeah, so we have more, but these are the businesses that we select.
This is what we have so far, yeah. Who the people who have turned in their descriptions and their logos. So we are waiting for about half of them. I actually have it here if you want me to go through it.
That would be awesome.
So we're just listing the 20 that we are putting on the passport, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so Panache Academy, I believe that's a daycare. They will be part of the passport. U.S. Cryotherapy, Bollinger Canyon Dental, Club Sport, Mexi's Restaurant, the Coder School, Ma Jolie Salon and Spa, the Learning Express, the Sports Basement, Enlightened Float, Best Donuts, Baskin Robbins, Chocolate Works East Bay, Pro Smile Dental Care, Dang's Acupuncture Clinic, Roundhouse Market, Bishop Grill at the Marriott, Peace Flower Montessori, Firehouse 37, and Buffalo Wild Wings. And then we do have two alternates that in case we don't hear back from two or however many we're missing, we do have the San Ramon Library that we can put on there and a Taekwondo location. So those are what we're working with. Yeah, looks really good.
Yeah,
good job.
Just say not so much a suggestion, but more of a reaction since it's the first thing I've seen. I really like the size. I think it's very usable.
Oh,
the colors are very catchy. I also like the layout. It looks pretty easy to get through. And not too much. I saw there's a section back here for fine print,
yeah.
So whatever that's going to be. But
fine print.
Yeah. But
we can
so
call
far,
it whatever we want. I was like, everyone knows what that means. This is the fine print part.
Yeah, exactly.
Disclaimers. How
I think it's good just to get the end, too. So.
Yeah.
So,
but it looks good.
Thank you.
Looks how good. Many of these are we planning to print, and how do the customers get them?
So right now, I think what we discussed at a previous meeting is we are looking at a printing service to provide these passports for us. If we need to print them ourselves, we can. It actually looks pretty good. So we're also going to have it available online for people to print out, I believe, right?
We talked about it.
Yeah,
but
so
we're
still in discussion about...
Here and at the businesses, right? We were going to go from the businesses to have... At their location,
I think
in case
so.
People wanted to just
mm-hmm.
grab them. If they're
yep.
there, it could kind of help promote it a little bit.
Yes.
And I think we were talking 1,000 or less. It wasn't going to be more than that. Printed.
Just as a starting point, yeah.
Yeah.
So is it this time frame where people can collect the stamps and what happens if they don't get the same for that time? So it's not over every 2 months.
Well, in order to be selected as a winner, you have to have at least 15, so they wouldn't qualify.
They don't have to do it when they're sort of like...
They do.
By December 16th.
It's on the front there. It goes through, December...
16th.
Mm-hmm.
That's only 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. What are some of the prizes?
There'll be gift cards from the participating businesses. They're all
I'm
giving
curious,
us gift cards.
Why is it only 1 month?
We're trying to promote the shop local. There's a local shop local holiday, and I can't remember. Is it in November?
It's
small business.
It's small business
Saturday.
Saturday. So we wanted to focus it around that, and also the opening of City Center. So that's why we chose the dates that we did, and it's kind of like a little kickstart to visit these local retail places before the holidays. So. Well, this is our first go at it. So yes, after it's closed, it's closed.
If it's successful,
and
we'll do it again. And if
yeah.
not, we'll do something else.
We'll review.
Yeah.
So, you think it might be worth it if these participating businesses attached a coupon or something to attract the business?
So we actually already have one person, I think, who. Offered for anyone who actually visits during the passport program, even though they're also providing a gift card to their location for the winner, they'll also provide a special deal for the chocolate place, I think.
Right,
so
and we should note that
mm-hmm.
here, or maybe on a little square, see deal or something like
and one reason we didn't require that for people who were wanting to be participating in businesses is because we're not making people purchase things. They just have to walk in.
Yeah.
So, like, if people were to pay for this, then it would be more like the Livermore Valley Winery one is what I'm thinking of, where you got a discount if you went to any of the participating businesses, but you were paying for the
What would you require anybody to buy anything? Why not just...
Well, it's not really require... Well, we don't want to require anyone to buy anything, which is why we don't want them to, but it encourages them to go into these places if they're not familiar with them or if they haven't been there, and maybe once they get there, it will attract them to stay.
I agree. Sorry, I'm going to rephrase what I'm saying. To attract them, would just a thought, have you considered putting something to get them into the business?
We gave them that option.
Okay, that's all.
We're just not requiring it.
We put in a coupon or an offer, half off, and I gave some suggestions.
Okay.
So only one of them has taken us up on it so far.
But we thought the same thing. Okay. Those are going to be pretty, especially like Baskin-Robbins. Mm-hmm. Buy one, get one half off. That's a no-brainer.
Keep doing it.
So, until you said it, I didn't jump to me that you don't have to buy anything to get the stamp. So I think that doesn't say it.
You just have to visit the, yes, but we should.
It's unnecessary.
That's a good idea. Yep.
Verbiage in here is just what I've copied in as I was putting our notes in and putting, like, it's not anywhere near what's going to be there. I'm doing design. I'm not, like, a legalese person, so somebody else will have to do the writing.
No, that's a good point. Okay, so.
But, yeah, so I don't know. We'll have to talk in our committee who's going to be able to do. Because it doesn't sound like the city has anything for events or contests or anything.
I'm sure there will have to be some sort of, yes, fine print, but we'll have to iron that all out still.
Yeah.
We could write it down. Perfect.
I was going to get this after we discuss it to you to give to Debbie or...
Okay.
Perfect.
Beautiful, yeah.
Run it past your legal.
Got it. Okay, so far, I just want to recap, and feel free to add anything if I forgot. We do want to maybe add verbiage about no purchase necessary, and then we also wanted to add if someone was giving a coupon for their location. So that's what I have so far, if anyone else has any other suggestions.
Maybe just kind of just as a suggestion to state the obvious, since we're saying no purchase necessary, something along the lines of all you got to just stop by to visit.
Okay.
I'm not sure how you would word that, but if I saw that, because I was like, Johnny would have had a good idea. Good catch on that, because I thought you had to go and buy these things.
Yeah.
I thought 1 month, that's kind of a lot going around.
Yeah.
But if it's more just come in and visit to collect your stamp, then it's like right off the bat you see
more
no purchase
attractive.
Necessary. Just come in and get these things. It looks fun, and you could maybe spend a couple hours going around the city collecting these things.
Maybe we could even have a little tagline or a purpose, get out in the
right.
community. Right.
Mm-hmm. Get to know your small businesses.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah, again, I don't know exactly how you're going to word that. You don't want to.
Yeah, we can play around with it.
So, are they going to have stamps?
Stickers?
Yeah.
Ooh, I like it.
I think we're going to order stickers. I think we decided.
Stickers?
Just because it's cheaper.
Oh,
yeah.
Huh.
And we could probably print them ourselves, maybe. I think that's what we decided. I don't remember what we decided.
We were getting concerned about having to get, like, a self-inking stamp, and that's expensive, or having, like, them have to have a stamp pad with a stamp at their cash register, and that being kind of funky, and so stickers seem to be
good. Have you thought about how you're going to measure participation, track effectiveness?
At one point we were talking about once they pick up their passport card, having them register online, but I don't think we went that route. So
just however many you get it turned
in. I think we were just going to kind of go with whatever gets turned in by the deadline. That's what we go with.
Well, if we're going to do stickers, that's a perfect way to measure popularity of the
stickers.
Yeah. Because, we can say, you had three, but this one had
Mm-hmm.
Because he had an offer.
Yeah.
Exactly. More successful.
Well, that might also be a good way to promote a second round of this, should you go that
mm-hmm.
route.
I also think social media is really big right now, especially with the younger generation. So it might be fun to encourage people to kind of document their journey as they're doing their passport program, if they want to take a picture of them with the owner or the storefront or something. And that could, I don't know if anyone's on the same track as me, but maybe we can say earn an extra entry for uploading a picture with a local business or doing this or hashtagging.
Is there a Twitter handle, hashtag passport?
Yeah. Because San Ramon does have a Twitter account. So if they hashtag, I don't know, passport program or something, San Ramon. We should, probably.
Yeah.
Hashtag San.
No, Jen, that's a great idea. That's also another way to monitor participation.
Yeah.
And get the
word out.
Yeah. Okay.
No, that's a really good idea.
Hashtag. And this will all obviously be on the passport. We'll notice all of this if we're going to create a hashtag or extra entries.
Which we should anyway. We're planning on posting about it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I could send out.
You have a web page too, right?
Hmm?
Web page as well.
We don't have
what it's about.
We don't have one yet, but yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For more information, I know that was something.
Yeah.
If there's a standard format, like people here around can post in their own social media circles and all forums,
mm-hmm.
like saying, okay, San Ramon is doing this, and just awareness, like next door or otherwise.
Yes, we will. I know that we will. We did blast it out on Nextdoor when we were first asking for participants for the businesses, so that was probably one of the main places we got our participants from, so... That's a good source for us to use. We'll definitely be using that.
I have a poster that matches this that we can print out for storefronts.
Awesome, yep.
Great.
That's a good idea.
What's that? I think I showed you guys months ago. I have a poster that matches this that they can put in the storefront.
Excellent.
So we'll just have to get it printed. It basically looks like this, but bigger. And we can put whatever we want on there.
And we can post those also at our city offices as well. That'll probably be a good way to get the word out.
Any idea when we are going to finalize where this can be, we can get this customers?
So we're going to offer an option to pick it up here at City Hall. And I think we talked about making it pretty easy and printer friendly so that if someone did come in to the permit center or another location, we could print it out for them. If they were looking for it.
How about giving a few to the businesses which are participating?
Yeah, we did talk about that too. Tori mentioned that we were going to give a certain amount of passports to the local businesses too. That way if people come in and they visit and they happen to see the poster and they inquire about it, then they can just hand them the poster or the passport and they could use it. Awesome ideas.
And then we were going to announce the winner, like, right before Christmas, right? Yeah, just the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
So they can use their gift card over the holidays, which would be useful for somebody's business.
Yes.
Now, is it just one winner or several winners?
There's going to be multiple.
Okay.
We haven't decided how many, but...
We don't even really know what we're getting yet from each of the businesses, right, gift card-wise?
Well, I think, yeah, in terms of amount, I think they've all been kind of... Like Club Sport gave us one for a month-long membership, which is really nice. And another one is for $25. Another one is for, I think, what was it for? The Learning Express, I think. That was, it's a toy store. Mm-hmm. And they gave us like $20, $25, I'm going to say. Yeah.
We talked about grouping them, right? Giving like a couple gift cards to like the first place. And then, yeah, we'll figure
mm-hmm.
it out.
I think it was super...
Month at Club Sport, that's a good gift.
That's a really good gift. It's way more than $25.
But if we did get a restaurant coupon for $25 and an entertainment venue,
mm-hmm.
something like that. Or maybe we couple
restaurant in Baskin Robbins. I'm hooked on Baskin Robbins. I'm hoping they send it up.
I know. I know, that would be awesome. We could, I mean, we could always remind the businesses too, you know, in addition, if you guys would like to provide any type of coupons or discounts to get people into your store, that'd be great. Because like you said, you don't, right now we don't have to have them purchase anything, but if we have those little discounts, it would get them in the door and get them to spend, you know, a couple bucks here and there.
Won't count toward their 200 characters.
I know. Make a note of that, right?
So, Tori, how are you going to notify the winners? By email or?
So we talked about when they turn in their passport, getting their information, so that we can contact them to let them know they won.
Okay, part of signing up.
Well, because we're not making them sign up to like get the passport, but when they like turn it in when they're done, I guess.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the big things, because we didn't want to add too many blockers of, you know, we have to register online to get the passport or, you know, just.
We didn't want to deter too many people.
Maybe you can
like
just
that
put the contact
on the step of,
oh, that's a good idea.
Put a form on the back.
Just
yeah.
have them fill out the information
if
on the back when they turn it in.
I like that.
If we're planning to collect the information once it is completed and delivered, like submitted, that's another step of collecting the information. We need manpower. We need. How about just having the information here printed?
Yep.
Yeah,
so when they complete it, they just fill it up and give it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. If we have an extra page on the back, we can just use that.
Which looks like we have two.
Yeah, it does.
Or the place where you actually have the stickers. Down below would be the logical place to put your information.
Mm-hmm.
You also have to fit in the disclaimers
yep.
for
yeah.
you won't use that information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another set of disclaimers.
The fine print.
So
we might need those extra pages.
We have like three whole pages for disclaimers. It's going to be great.
Yes, I think that's great. I also, I don't know if this is...
Are you volunteering?
On Facebook Live.
I'll tape you.
That's a great idea. I was thinking that, you know, for the winners, we can have them recognized by the city council or something. But that, I mean, that's a little formal, but it might be fun if...
Yeah.
I don't know. Just depends what route we want to go with that.
We haven't gotten quite that far yet.
Yeah.
We're stuck on this.
I know.
But yeah. All good ideas.
But yeah, Facebook Live would be good.
How many of these you expect to get back?
Trial and error. This is our first time doing this, so we're just kind of hoping that
we talked about printing up
we
to
get
1,000
enough people
to start
yeah.
and just see how it goes.
2,000?
1,000, I think, to start.
We're going to print 1,000 of them, and we'll see what we get.
Isn't
from there.
The shop local, I see commercials about this. Is that somebody mentioned that earlier today.
Oh, the
small business Saturday.
Small business
Saturday.
Saturday.
They it's might. More like a movement that started as like a hashtag. So like each city kind of has their own
yeah.
like Small Business Saturday.
Yeah. I think
you
might look good.
Yeah, for sure.
It's American Express that started
it. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
I was going to say it's usually like if you go look it up, it'll be like Small Business Saturday for like the different cities that kind of celebrate it. It's a Saturday after Thanksgiving because it's Black Friday, Small Business Saturday. right? They don't care. It's still money.
Yeah.
When I do these things, I always like to know how many winners there are going to be. I think there's only like two. I think I probably do.
You probably, but then you could be one of the winners.
Lotto.
Oh, how many winners, not participants?
He wants to know how many
winners.
He wants
to know his odds.
He wants to know.
Okay.
But
that makes sense.
Quite a few prizes, so.
That kind of goes.
I mean, we could have 20 winners because we're going to have 20 gift cards.
Well, not if we double up, right? I mean, if
we're
giving them more than one gift card.
Maybe we could have up to 20 or as low as one, so we could just pick a number.
Well, and I think that might be dependent on how many people we get. If we get 20 people participating, everyone's a winner.
We get 10 people participating, we all win. Yeah, so that, I mean, I think what he's saying, though, is that we should include how many winners we're going to announce. In here, is that what you're saying you want to see?
It's hard because you don't know how many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just say your odds are better than winning the lotto.
That's the best one.
That's the best.
Isn't winning dictated by the number of prizes that these that these companies are willing to shell out?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, if it's like one coupon or one gift certificate per...
It is, yeah.
Then you really only have...
20.
20.
20, yeah. Yeah. Right. We have as high as 20 or as low as 1.
So they only get multiple, like, clubs.
No, I mean, we can have one winner and give them 20 gift cards.
Yeah.
If we wanted to.
Right, because
if there's, like,
true,
three people that participate, we could give all 20.
There's some standard verbiage, you know, winners depend on the number of participants and yada, yada, yada. So we could, the fine print, that's where that goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without committing to how many,
you
just put out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I had a suggestion to the extent we have room in the, or maybe you put it here where the actual stamp is. A simple, you know, like maybe like a step. This is how you participate. This is how, what you do. Step one, please, you know, fill
this
out.
What this
you have
page
that in
is going to be,
okay.
I think it sounds like.
Where's
this
that?
First,
yeah.
This very first, right on the other side from the stamp.
Right. And then like
this
step two, fill out the
like
thing in the back.
And it's kind of that, just not written well because it's literally pasted from my notes that day.
Okay, then I would suggest somewhere in those directions, however you want to put it in there.
Yeah.
You can do a step one or step two, but mention that you have to complete the form in order to have a valid entry.
Mm-hmm.
So you put it in there. So that way they'll see it. People will see it a couple of times. You'll see the form on the back. You'll see the steps in there. Then they'll know what to do.
Wow.
If it's two steps, then that's really easy.
We're also going to have this information on a web page on the city website.
Mm-hmm.
And web links going.
That'll look really nice.
We can put a lot of information on that page and reference that URL in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, I think there's. Oh, yeah, questions. Visit website.com because I didn't know the URL.
And its odds of winning are determined by number of participants.
Something like
that.
Yep. That's Michael's verbiage.
Yeah,
can't take credit for that.
Yeah, if there's anybody who knows like a cheat to find legalese like this, that'd be great.
I'll find it.
Because I don't want to get sued.
Was that
all right,
good
any
feedback?
Other comments?
I think any more
yeah, it's
comment?
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you for understanding that we don't have a final thing yet.
Awesome job.
No, thanks for presenting a really nice draft.
Because we have to go to print in next month, right?
I can't remember what our timeline was for printing. Gina, do you remember what date we were wanting to print by?
I have a feeling it was like the first week of October.
October, yeah. Okay.
Depending on when we get everybody's logos.
Okay.
All right.
We'll move on.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. Item 8.1, we're going to move on to government liaison remarks. 8.1 is for city council, and I do not see a representative here.
Nope.
We'll move on to 8.2 for the planning commission. Vicky's here.
Oh, okay. I think I might go to the map for a second. So there's two main things going on. One is we had our second public hearing for the economic update for the general plan, and that has to do with some of the work that you all did here in terms of the retail study and all your feedback you gave for that. So all of that input and process is winding its way towards conclusion in terms of updates into the general plan, and I think we also have another city council meeting to go on that as well.
You'll have one more, at least one more planning commission meeting, and then there'll be two more city council meetings. General plan amendments require three meetings of each body.
So, you know, we have a lot of interest in that. Usually it's because, folks just kind of not understanding the process and also some of them not understanding the impacts as we're changing some of the zoning on the retail centers, taking the housing off. sometimes there's a misconception that that's more housing, but it is just our required housing numbers for RITA that we are moving to a location where it's actually more likely that it would get built and more likely that we'll make our commitments. And also solidifying those retail areas and centers that we think will be viable, as you all know, and provided your input. The other one is, I think it's the Crow Canyon specific plan area is over here, which is basically we're talking about, oriented correctly, we're talking about this area over here. And that is an 18-month process. And part of the reason we need to do the redo this specific plan in that area is that it was done at a time where the city thought there would be redevelopment funds, and those haven't been available for some time now. And so also the vision for that area has changed, and we're getting some large housing projects. Some developers are coming in, and we feel that the specific plan isn't giving them the guidance that would produce basically what we want from that area. And also the changing nature of retail. We had this vision of this all this ground floor retail kind of village center walkable area. And we're finding, as you know, with the changing nature of retail, that that might not be possible. The developers and real estate agents are telling us it's going to be hard to enforce all ground floor retail there. So we're trying to give businesses more flexibility. But still create a very vibrant area for the local residents, making sure there's a good residential and shopping mix. And so there will be multiple hearings and discussions on that that you all will be able to participate in either through this committee or another one or other public input sessions. So it's been about an 18-month process, and we're just kicking it off. So
it's not the Chappell property.
No.
Yes.
No, it's not.
Okay.
So, and we hope to get something that's actually more actionable. Council Member Hudson had commented how many plans we've done for that area, none that had really come to fruition. So we do understand that, but really hope to give something that's, the idea is that it's more practical, not counting on some redevelopment funds that aren't coming, but really what will developers build and what can we ask them to build that will, so that we can make sure the community is, you know, walkable, but also provides the sales tax that you all know that we would like. And actually, I was looking at this because I was thinking we have a very high-achieving community, and so we have this discussion about the tutoring centers. That's part of the economic development plan, a lot of, or economic portion of the plan. A lot of discussion around that 25% requirement in the shopping centers. And looking at this, I was thinking, oh my gosh, not only are we a high-achieving community, we're a high-stress community, so we need flotation de-stressing and cryo de-stressing, and pretty soon we'll have these
works.
Other challenges.
We have too many
stress, anti-stress services that aren't producing enough sales tax. So, anyway.
What was the area? I apologize.
It's the Crow Canyon specific plan. It's just that that's not a very descriptive.
It's Crow Canyon north to the city boundary along San Ramon Valley Boulevard.
Oh, okay.
So if you think it covers Morgan's Masonry, if you know where that is.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. And then behind that is Omega Road, and then back in there. We also talked about renaming it because nobody can remember the name with Crow Canyon specific plan, but that is part of Old San Ramon.
Yes.
And that's part of the discussion as well, is can we include some historic elements in some of those buildings and maybe rename it.
So what is in the current plan, that area that's in the primary housing?
There is a housing overlay. There's a discussion that that would come out. There's also a couple of different zones. So we have this concept called, what's VCMU stand for?
Village Center Mixed Use.
Village Center Mixed Use. So we really envisioned a walkable area. But again, a lot of that was ground floor retail. And we're finding that people probably don't want to put that in. And so we have to think more, a little bit more creatively in terms of horizontal mixed use. And we also had to think about some that the housing that was going to get built was probably not what we envisioned, and so we might need to balance the housing numbers as well.
That is my question, was it envisioned single family and now it's going to be a little denser?
I think we'll see a little bit denser, yes.
Is that Sherman Williams store, is that, are those the smaller shops, is that one big Sherman Williams, it's right in the same area. There's a paint store.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sherwin-Williams.
Yeah, it's in the plant area.
Is that maybe small shops? That's a big square footage, or is that all Sherwin-Williams?
Are you talking about the new building?
Yeah, the new building went up. If it occupies a corner.
Yeah, that's the McHugh property. My understanding is it's auto repair, or sorry, auto parts store and Sherwin-Williams paint store. So there's two businesses going in there. And then there's an upper pad that is more oriented to some type of service use that has a tenant hasn't been selected.
Yeah, it just seems like that area is very service-oriented, industrial-oriented.
Yeah. It is, and so that's also part of the discussion is how do you, you know, there's discussion about incentives. You know, you've all heard the discussion of do you create a special district or something like that to do for some beautification efforts? Or the industrial area does make a lot of money. It's a good service area for the city. So there's no discussion of removing the industrial.
It's not ugly. I guess I'm sorry. Maybe I'm.
It's
I'm,
not gorgeous either, though.
It's not gorgeous
so.
Either, but I mean, that's why it's industrial. That's why it's industrial. But is there a reason why I'm trying to put why you want to change it, or is there something besides beautifying it? Is there going to be some sort of because residential area is not going to bring the city any money. I'd probably rather have more tire shops.
But we need more workforce housing.
Well,
so people who are employed here can live here too. So that has an economic development.
So there's
practicality to it.
There's a couple of items that relate to this. Is the existing plan now has a housing allocation that's part of our housing element. And so there's about 735 units that are programmed into that area. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, you have the Faria development up on the hill, and then some the Rome project, which is a newly approved apartment project on where the outpost used to be. And so you are seeing some change there. What they're trying to do is create a balance between maintaining some of those service commercial uses and light industrial, like on Beta Court, as well as providing opportunities for integrated uses and mixed use and residential. Currently, the plan has a housing overlay that covers most of the northern portion of it. And what we were finding through some of the early review applications was that the housing was being proposed in a spotty way. And we wanted to consolidate that housing. So it's not a total redo of the plan. We're just focusing the housing into that core at Deerwood and Old Crow Canyon Road, or Omega. And then we're also looking at ways of trying to facilitate development and redevelopment of those other uses. One of the other challenges we have with that plan area is the age of it. A lot of those structures are older in nature, and the land use pattern is also very fragmented. So you have a lot of odd-shaped, smaller pieces. And so how do you encourage those to develop and redevelop in an orderly way that's efficient and can accomplish the visions for, you know, both commercial uses as well as an environment where people can live? So it's, again, not a total redo of the plan, but an updating. And as Vicki mentioned, we're dealing with some assumptions that are no longer in place, such as the loss of the redevelopment agency, and also some roadway improvements that just aren't going to happen. Twin Creeks extension is not going to happen. So, yeah, too hard to cross a creek these days. So, too expensive. So I hope that helps, but I would encourage you to come to the workshop on October 2nd. It'll be following the regular meeting in the council chambers, and it'll be in this room, and they're going to start discussions and design workshops with stakeholders in the area as well and the public at large.
Thank you.
So Sorry, I stepped on your...
No, I'm good. That's it.
So Vicki, you had mentioned, I thought I heard misperception. Is that something you've noticed from people in attendance who've had concerns, specific concerns they've raised about housing or the density of housing in the area?
I think what we're finding is, I mean, can you imagine city council meetings and planning commissions are dry and boring? So not a lot of people attend them, but we're finding because of social media, we would find more people attending them, but they don't necessarily have the background. So you have kind of your cast of regulars that attends a lot, and then you have people who are very new to the process. It is a complicated process. It's got all these acronyms, and if you come in the middle of it, you know, there's people who don't, they're just not familiar. They don't know maybe you've been working on this for 12 months. And so there's some education that's required. But certainly on Nextdoor, there's a lot of misinformation about, you know, just, you know, so-and-so, like as if the one council member could decide to sell something or build something. So people don't really understand the process very well. Another reason we started the Planning Academy, which takes place also in this room, so to teach people. But there are some very contentious projects, as you know, the city is mostly built out and things go to infill, like Church of the Valley. You know, that's all, you have residents all around, and so people are very interested. And it is a complex process to explain sometimes, and so they don't understand the legality of it. They think that you can just decide yay or nay to do something.
Right.
So part of the public hearing process is sometimes an education process as well, versus just an open decision process.
Right. And then a little while ago, I think there was some discussion about the owners of Morgan Masonry and also the Skate, Golden Skate. They have brought forward a, they're looking for feedback and comments on a could-be project. Has that gone anywhere? Have they come back to planning with any new ideas or anything like that? I haven't heard anything in a couple months, so I was just wondering.
I think Lauren can help with that. Morgan's missed the date, right?
Well,
speaking of history there.
There's a long history. Let's talk about Golden Skate.
Or it was Golden Skate missed the date.
Golden Skate was first. There were conflicts between the ownership and the applicant who filed, and ultimately the application was withdrawn, and due to these conflicts and the inability to respond to city comments. My understanding is the current owner of Golden Skate is still looking for opportunities. However, this redesign of the specific plan area may change what types of uses can occur on his property. So we're expecting him to be actively involved in the process. Regarding Morgan's Masonry, there were two concept reviews that were filed on that property. And concept reviews are not binding. They're just feedback to the potential developer. And one of the large concerns with that property is the auto repair parcel that's an infill parcel there. So it's not a... you know, it's not one site. There's two property owners. And the commission, as well as staff, had concerns about building a residential sure. project around a legacy auto repair shop. Mm-hmm. And so how you address that, it became a critical issue. Now, last night, as part of the public comment on the Crow Canyon-specific plan discussion, I believe it was one of the family members that owns the auto repair shop indicated that they are talking with another developer related to the Morgan site. So there still may be some activity on that site. So she made the statement that it's clear that they want to sell. It's not clear to us because we haven't seen an application,
right.
But...
And we haven't really heard that from them before. Either.
No, that's true. We haven't. Morgan's.
I actually brought that up at a meeting here six
okay.
months ago. I bought a bunch of stuff from Morgan's for my house, anyway, and I talked to the owner. I know the owner. I said, hey, great place, et cetera, blah, blah. He goes, yeah, we're going to sell.
Well,
this is the one next door, the auto
This
shop.
Is the one next door.
The auto shop next door.
Yeah,
right.
They said that it's clear that Morgan's wants to sell secondhand knowledge, but
yeah.
the point is there's a lot of speculation, and I believe that they're open to ideas, but until we actually have an application in hand, we can't really comment on whether they're going to continue to operate or not. But it seems like they're, given the fact that there have been two concept reviews that were authorized by the property owner in the past, it seems likely that there'll be some additional thought about potentially redeveloping that site. And they're just going to have to figure out how to deal with the auto repair shop as well. And that might be mean relocating them to another site. And so how that's accomplished financially and what kind of deal gets done is a private matter, not a city matter. Without a redevelopment agency to facilitate that, you know, we can't really get involved in that.
So there are currently no projects under consideration for any of those two sites?
Well, I would say across the street on the old recycling center, there is a application that has been filed for a hotel, a Hampton Inn hotel. And so it's just begun to work through the process. The application was deemed incomplete for additional materials, but we'll see how they respond to our request for more information.
What's going on in Max's Diner?
Ulta Beauty Supply is the end user tenant there. They've filed for building permits and development permits, and obviously they did a demolition permit to take down the building. So they'll be working through the construction process in the months to come.
Yeah, it's more than a beauty supply. They have a salon. They have a whole bunch of other things. That's why they've done so well.
Yeah.
Good story.
All right. Well, Lauren, thank you for that. I think I just picked up on the word misperception. I think that's very true. A lot of the things I've seen, people talk, they hear the word growth and density, and then they just get into this mindset where they think it's a done deal. So I hadn't heard anything in a while, so I thought it'd be, especially now the elections are coming up, it'd be interesting to have a more fully informed, factually accurate record, I think. That helps me anyway, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, if you ever watch Next Door, you'll see all kinds of stuff coming back
and forth. And so much of it is not true.
Well, of course it's not. They're just
It's therapeutic informed. For some people. So.
It's cheaper than cryo.
You can test before you're allowed to do it.
I'm thinking of Next Door. What's the latest on the golf course and the housing on the golf course?
There's no applications for housing proposed. Obviously, a person purchased the course that had some experiences in Southern California in which they redeveloped a property. The golf course in San Ramon is somewhat unique compared to those properties in Southern California in that it is designated in the general plan and zoning as golf course. And so in order for someone to build residential, they would actually have to go through the process of amending the general plan and the zoning ordinance mm-hmm. to accomplish that, as well as all the environmental review that would come along with it. It's not an easy process. Whereas in the case of those properties in Southern California, they were residential developments that happened to have a golf course, which was also designated residential. So it was already zoned for it. It was just a development permit. And so it's not a similar condition. My understanding, though, and I continue to get emails with golf discounts to come play, and so they're still running the course. So, and so I haven't heard anything more than the rumors, but until we actually have an application in hand, we don't really have anything to.
So who runs the course right now?
I'm not sure the name of the owner currently running it. It's probably some LLC, but.
It's not the owner of the land.
Oh, I'm sure it is under some kind of contract with somebody to manage it for them. But most of it, my understanding is the old golf pros and people that were there before have moved on. Do you know? Vicki, who's?
I was Trees Something LLC.
Yeah, but again, it's approved as a golf course per the original use permits, and it will continue to operate until they decide to propose to change it. And like I said, the process to change it is a lengthy and a technically and politically oriented process. Mm-hmm. So,
All right. Well, thank you, Vicki. Thank you, Lauren, for that. 8.3 is the Parks and Community Services Commission update.
Okay, so the planning has lots going on, but we also have a 10-year update plan for the parks and facilities. So the consultant is out there. You'll probably, maybe we'll be getting for your suggestions. There's public meetings that will be forthcoming, and so we're taking everything into consideration, what you'd like to see to improve parks or the facilities or what you would like in them. So be aware of looking online on the city so that you can participate in any of those activities, because we want everyone's opinion. So that's happening, but that'll probably continue out throughout the rest of the year. So there'll be plenty of opportunity to express your concerns. Or if you have some concerns, you can certainly call me so that I can relay them and get them in the proper place to be reviewed and considered. We just completed the summer programs, and for our summer camps, we had 5,064 attendees. So that was an improvement from last year somewhat. And so there were 270 different summer camp programs. And I mean, they really ranged from everything from preschool to a Camp Central, where there was all kinds of activities. There were visual and performing arts. There were aquatics. There were sports and fitness. There was the teen center and teen enrichment. And this year we even had a special needs inclusion services, so that the people who needed assistance or had medical issues, 29 participated in 84 of the regular programs. So we were really pleased that they could become part and active in those programs. We did hire 196 part-time temporary staff to pull this off, and then we also contracted a lot of the activities out also. So that was very much, and so now they'll take the comments, and we did receive an 85% satisfaction on all of those programs, which is good. And so now they're in the process of planning for 2019. And we have a new poet laureate, Gwyneth Gerhardt Utchen, and so she'll be doing poems and everything for openings and different activities. And also, we did some utility boxes with painting, yes. And so they were given to be artistic, you know, related to the arts. So we would like your comments as to how you like it, whether we proceed and have more utility boxes painted or not. So have any of you seen them?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
They are.
They're okay.
Huge improvement.
Thus far that we've had positive feedback on them. So we'll probably proceed with then branching out to another area for utility boxes.
My wife mentioned something. She said, you know, it prevents people from putting
graffiti
and also papers, like big
flyers.
Flyers,
yeah. Exactly, like flyers.
Like flyers and stuff. So
sales and
garage sales. Gun sales.
Yeah, garage sales.
Yeah.
It looks really nice.
The cow palace. Right.
Exactly.
We put out an RFP to get artists, and so I think we had 6 artists that we considered, and then they were given the guidelines and everything, and then they painted. And one lady, it was interesting, one lady artist was from San Francisco, and she came out here on one of our nice warm days.
Oh, uh-huh. For her.
For her.
You can probably give them
the
sunset.
So she said she had to come back at a different time, so it was cooler, because she couldn't really paint in that heat. It just,
sure.
You know, she wasn't accustomed to it. So that was kind of interesting to that. But it's proven that if you do artistic paintings on underpasses and things like that, it does cut down on graffiti.
Yeah.
It most certainly does. So this is one thing that we wanted to do. And so if you have any ideas for what you'd like to see in parks or like to have them changed or something, because we do have 60 of them, but there's all kinds of activities and everything. So that would be the arts. And the only other thing I would have is some of you that came in late, I have little cards for you that you can take on the Oktoberfest that will be coming up on October the 20th from 11 to 4, and it's at the Forest Home Farms over there on San Ramon Valley Boulevard. And it'll include your lunch and a beer stein, and there will be 4 different breweries so that you can have your choices and taste from each of them. And there'll be dancing for entertainment, there's old-fashioned games for the children, and there's doxy races. So if you know of anyone that has guidelines, go on the website, sanramonhistorichoundation.org, and enter your little doxy in the races. It's very cute. Some run, some go in circles, and some just play around, but it's really cute. So those, and it's very economical, and we would invite you to attend because it's a lot of fun, and it brings people another avenue of different things to do in the city. So it's on a Saturday, the 20th. So that's my report. Yes.
Question. Is your commission part of the search for lifeguards?
That's a division. That is the aquatic division. I guess that falls under the parks. The aquatics do, and they are continually searching for lifeguards.
Have they ramped it up since the...
For the school? That was a school issue. That wasn't the city at all. That was,
I thought the city was getting involved to help.
They're trying to teach them, I mean, not teach them, but to give them guidelines of what they need to follow for much more safety. Because we have a really concrete what we need from lifeguards, and we just honored one last at our last meeting because so she saw a child come down a slide and saw him in distress immediately. So our lifeguards, 12 of them have been lifeguards, started at junior lifeguards and now are senior lifeguards. So we have a lot of background and training and that. And so I think they are probably participating to help the school district. They are the ones that have to hire the lifeguards, not us.
Carol, as far as feedback on the paintings on the utility boxes, where could you give that? Is that something online that you could access on the city website?
Yes, you can go online, I think, and give your comments, or I can relay your comments to the commission that I get when we meet, that, you know, and give them that you felt that it was a good idea that they expand.
And the second question is, does Parks, are you involved in the survey that's going around for the Mudd's property? Have you heard anything? Has anyone heard anything about that? There's a survey that my wife told me about and I filled out that went around. I think it's available online on the city website. But I'm just looking for community feedback on how should funds be utilized to address the park and the building, either or one or the other or not. On how to update that location.
That isn't part of the 10-year update plan, and that's one of the areas that we'll be specifically looking at is how to development. And, of course, it has come to us that a private person wanted to develop that area, but the Park Commission Division didn't have any regulations of how we would do jointly with a private person. So it was referred back to decide. So that sort of is to what you would like to see at that area. The facility, the building, is not in any condition to be, you know, to update it or anything, because the roof is falling, the piping and all that are just, you know, that's totally, it's not, you couldn't have a restaurant or anything in there because you can't, it's fenced off so you can't even go around the building. But they're trying to get your feedback of what you'd like to see at that. Do you want the organic gardens expanded? Do you want play area there more for children? Mm-hmm. Do you want it to be a sports park? Do you want it to be developed down into the creek?
Right.
And things like that. So that's part of, for that parcel, we're trying to get ideas. But that is part of the first step is for one of the steps for the 10-year update plan.
Mm-hmm. What happens after you gather enough feedback? Or is it too early to tell what happens next? I was just curious.
Well, because, see, the consultants will develop in developing and getting all this information, and then we'll go from there as to see what's feasible money-wise and whatever that would be a priority. Because, see, you have what we call the woodlot that's out there on Bollinger Canyon Road that's quite a few acres. That's nothing is there, but, of course, there's all kinds of housing around it, and if you put sports parks there, you're going to, just like you say, we're going to hear a lot of problems that they won't want that in their backyard. There's the Henry Ranch Park up on the hill that's never been developed anything, but these are on long-range planning because we don't have enough monies to develop all those parks at once because they cost lots and lots of money. So, but all that, that's why I said there will be committee, there will be meetings that you can go and voice your opinion, and they will all be taken into consideration. And then I guess it eventually get down to the Parks Commission. We'll have to decide which way we're going to go or whatever.
I would encourage everyone to check out the survey.
Yeah, but she should complete the survey, yes. It's like a sock, what do you call it, a sock monkey or something like that.
That's survey a, monkey.
Survey monkey. There is a sock monkey for them, too.
I was thinking something else.
Survey monkey, and it's questions that give you ideas with yes or no what you'd like to see there.
So regarding the utility boxes, how long is the Art Commission for? Is it a year, 5 years?
Your commission, if you apply for an art advisory commission.
Just like one of these boxes, you're like, how long are we going to let it?
Oh, we would probably, before the year's over, decide if we're going to continue and pick another place that we would want the utility boxes painted, and then we'd have to go out for an art program to get more artists to do them.
Right, no, sorry, like the current ones that are painted, mm-hmm. how long are they going to be painted for? Will they stay that way?
They'll stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have a quick process question related to that property. So when you talk about feedback and planning what should go into onto that property, how does that fit with the planning commission work and the general plan?
Well,
when does it go from parks to planning, or does it go?
Well, there's two aspects. Obviously, the Parks Commission deals with the operation and management of parks. Mm-hmm. Part of the site, the organic gardens, is an existing park site. The building and structure that was formerly owned by the redevelopment agency, which is in question right now, is actually designated as an office land use. And so, depending on what happens with the master plan, given that the city now owns that property, there will most likely be some efforts to rezone the property to match whatever intended use there is. And so the Planning Commission is the review authority when it comes to land use. The Parks Commission is the authority when it comes to programming the actual use of the space.
Both of them need public feedback.
Both of them are public process.
That, but I think the part that falls under their jurisdiction is just the gardens.
It's that whole property there.
So
the
question areas. Yeah, once the property was sold from the successor agency or the redevelopment agency to the city, it became a city asset, and so the city has to look at how to program the use of that site, and that's what they're working on now. Ultimately, there'll be an application, a city-sponsored application to adjust zoning and approve some sort of development, whatever that program is, and then we'll go through building permits to construct structures and things like that. But the city has the authority to determine how to use their property because they own the property, and then if it falls under the jurisdiction of the Parks Commission, they would deal with how the actual park space is designed, and then as part of making it consistent with the park plan, land use needs to be changed to match. And both of those are public processes.
Mm-hmm. So it has to go to both, basically.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why we want all the comments so that they can be implemented in what the community wants to see.
Great. Good question. Thanks, Carol. So we'll move on to 8.5, the Chamber of Commerce update.
Okay, we've got a lot going on. Tomorrow is our business expo. From 5 to 7:30 at Bridges, we have over 50 exhibitors, so please come out and support your local businesses. Monday is the council-sponsored candidates forum at the Roundhouse. It starts doors open at 6. The mayoral portion starts at 6:30. There is a 10-minute break from 7:10 to 7:20, and we come back with the council candidates at 7:20. And it'll go to about 8:45. And I am collecting questions, by the way. we have asked readers to send in questions, and I am
probably going to talk to you about one about propane. So anyway, please come out and, you know, listen. It's important to be engaged. It's important to, and you'll also have an opportunity to write questions at the event and submit them to us for possible asking. The Wine and Dine is... We were trying to get Contra Costa TV to do it, and I don't think they're going to do it. So I dealt with this with the assembly, and I had Roberta Gonzalez actually tape it, Roberta Gonzalez Productions. Amos Productions is doing Livermore's. TV 30 is doing Pleasanton's. So far, we have no takers on that one, but I will find out if there's any way we can maybe get Roberta Gonzalez Productions. I'm doing it in trade for advertising, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
she's already into me for about, well, never mind, a lot of money. But we couldn't afford to pay it. And it's important to have it for people, for voters, and that's how I finally convinced her that, you know, let's do the trade out, because it's a community service. We don't get paid for these things, and we certainly don't have the money to pay. So, but it is important to have those. The Wine and Dine is October 18th. It's at Crow Canyon Country Club, and it's from 5:30 to 8:30. It's a popular event, and I can hook you up with tickets, or you can go on to sanramon.org and purchase them there. I think it's $35. We are also looking for nominations for community award recipients in December. We have a business of the year, ambassador of the year, and citizen of the year. And don't have to be a chamber member to nominate somebody. We really appreciate you doing that, and go to sanramon.org to do that. And one final pitch for questions for Monday's candidate forum.
How do we get those to you?
Email them, write them down right here.
Okay.
Email gchannell@danvillesanramon.com.
Can I ask a general question? What kind of powers does the mayor have in terms of what kind of decisions can that mayor alone make that will affect the residents?
I have this discussion right before I left, because I was planning the Livermore forum, which is tomorrow.
I don't know.
There really isn't any different, because any difference. It's not like a president where he can veto things. He's one of the five.
Of the city council.
Right. He is responsible for more appearances and things like that.
Like a liaison or something.
And he's kind of the leader of the group, informally.
He's captain of the council.
Cities are structured differently.
Some cities, I know they rotate the council members to be mayors, right? It's not a public... It's not a vote.
Well, we used to do that here.
We did used to do that. Also, some cities do not have city managers, and the elected mayor also operates as the city manager. San Ramon is not like that.
We have a different city manager. I'm not really sure what that's a...
It's just a different type of municipal government.
Well, why? It's a public... Is this a voting issue, like in November?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, there's one spot for the mayor, and then there's two seats, I believe, on council.
Yes.
So three total. And there are how many candidates?
Four candidates for council, two seats open, two candidates for mayor, obviously one seat.
Right. Okay. All right. Thanks, Gina. I'll get you some questions.
Thank you. I would appreciate it.
I was just wondering about that. How do I get questions to you? But we'll see. Okay. Let's move on to 8.5, update from the Teen Council.
So there weren't too many things going on, but it was mainly finalizing a few things, like the teen ambassador application, which I believe is coming out next week. And there's also the poetry contest that I release later on in the year. And the teen citizenship award application. And we're also working on finding companies or people that can sponsor awards for those two, the poetry contest and the teen citizenship award, like a small gift card or a money award. And we're also focusing on trying to advertise the Senior Tech Day that's coming up on October 5th. And if you know any seniors that have any technology problems, it's at the Acosta Senior Center.
Awesome.
Okay. Gina, yes?
I can help you with that.
From 9 to 11.
On advertising it, getting the word out.
If anyone has ideas for sponsorship, how can we get that to you?
I think Jennifer Gold.
Jennifer Gold at the at the city would be in charge of the team council. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it would be very difficult. I mean, you know, people want to support the place.
With Rotary for this, we're trying to focus on like maybe something like arts or art supplies. For the poetry contest, or something related to poetry as an award.
Okay. Well, thank you for the update. I don't see anything else on our agenda, so we are now adjourned.
All right.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Guys, just a note, our next meeting is going to be upstairs in the large community conference room, because this room will be booked. So just a heads up. Yes.